Unscripted.
Unshackled.
Uncouth.
What you're about to hear is for mature ears only.
It's Miguel Fuller.
I would show anything. I'd show my hee-hee and my hoo-hoo and my ha-ha.
Holly O'Connor.
Hey, Daddy, you want to take this to the bedroom?
And Scotty the Body.
I am officially not only the grill daddy, but I'm a hot grill daddy.
Oh, wow.
It's the Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
Only from Hot 101.5, Tampa Bay's new hip music.
Well, we up in this piece some more. We're giving you everything that we didn't do last week, since we only did, I think, like one podcast last week.
We didn't do two?
I don't remember. Last week was such a blur.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you have a day off from work, like we had for Memorial Day, I feel like there's three times the work that you have to prepare for.
Wasn't it this week?
Yeah, but I'm just saying that because we had Monday off,
last week
was so busy.
Trying to get everything together for it.
Mm-hmm. And then with Scott being out, it's been a little crazy.
Poor Scott.
So Scott, not to be like, cause I was looking at the podcast, on iTunes and hold on, let's say you maybe have heard of us before in Tampa Bay and you happen to hear one of the promos on the station that's like, hey, listen to Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Ha ha. It's crazy. And then you look at the past few titles. Scotty isn't doing well. Update on Scotty's mom. Where has Scotty been?
Oh, my gosh.
What makes us cry?
Oh,
well,
wow.
I mean, it's indicative of the state of things, okay?
We're just keeping it real.
We are barely keeping our heads above water.
No, I just thought it was funny when I went to look at it, and I was like, well, this sounds like an uplifting. But before we have...
Miguel, if it bleeds, it leads. Okay?
Unfortunately, mm-hmm. Which we need to talk about that, about this whole like the media thing that people keep saying. We're going to talk about that.
Oh, okay.
But first, we do have to sort of go a little bit in depth about Scott revealing what he did this morning.
Oh, because, yeah, we didn't do it on the podcast yet.
Yeah. So, I think we talked about like me going through and getting a coronavirus test a couple weeks ago on the podcast on top of everything else because I got sick and then it kind of went away. But then I got the test because of my smell left. And
your sense of smell. To say that because it sounds really awkward when you say my smell left.
It left the room. My smell got up and left.
It said bye.
No, your smell didn't go away because your clothes in the house smell nasty as hell.
But I did end up getting the results back, and I was tested positive for COVID-19.
Now, Holly's standing on her chair right now. She's just sort of stretching.
Yeah. Sorry, I had to move.
No, you're fine.
I feel like a giraffe or a zebra or something.
But right now, I have Scott up on video, so I can see him because he's in Vero Beach at his parents' house, and we're here in the studio in St. Pete. But when you said that, Scott, you physically recoiled. Like, when I looked at your face when you said, I have COVID-19, you put your hands in your head. Like, what does that mean? Because your body's saying something.
I mean, it's just, it feels good. Weirdly, like, icky and kind of gross to say it. Like, I've had some time to really process it, but the first time I saw that I tested positive, like, everything in me kind of just, it felt so sad. Like, my heart literally dropped when I saw the results because it was kind of like a funny thing of like, oh, maybe I have it. And it wasn't until that moment when I saw I was positive where I was like, oh, crap. Like, I have COVID-19 and then all the thoughts that come with it. Like, I am now a carrier and I could give it to somebody else that could really seriously affect him. I'm living at home with my dad and I would like, my dad's super healthy, probably healthier than I am. And I would hate to give it to him. And when I first got tested positive, I started just getting really nervous because my mom's in the hospital and we also saw her and my dad was visiting her. And like, if that were to happen, and luckily, you know, my dad tested, he got a test and he tested negative and my mom's fine, but it would just be so bad. And to think that I have now that within me and I got tested even a week later, to see if it was still in me, and it still came out positive. I just feel like this, like, walking, like, problem, and it makes me feel that now that I have it, I did something wrong. Like, I am now part of the problem why it continues to spread. And that feeling is just, it's very unsettling, because I did everything I could to be as safe as possible, but still live a life, and I still ended up getting it. And so it just kind of shows that it's like, you could be as careful as possible, and like, you have to keep your guard up, but you just don't know when you're going to get it. And that's why it is so important. And I'm going to kind of dive in for like a second, why people need to wear their masks, because I was probably positive with it, let's say like 2 weeks ago on Monday, when I had to rush home to go to my family. And that night, like the next day, like my grandma came into town, my aunt came into town, my dad and my brother were all together with me. But I had my body just didn't feel right. And so I took that extra precaution to wear my mask around them, to sit away from them, to keep my distance. And luckily, nobody got it. Like, if I was just going about my business willy-nilly, and we even got dinner together, and I was sitting next to my grandma, but I still, I literally would turn my head to talk. Like, I wouldn't face her. As soon as I finished my meal, I put back on my mask. Like, she's, you know, in her 80s. If I would have passed this thing on to her, who knows what could have happened. And so it's just, that part, like, scares the crap out of me. Because, like, I don't know, you know, if I'm still positive right now. But it keeps me on my toes of, like, I got to be careful around my dad. I got to be careful if, like, I can't go anywhere. So it's just crazy to see. That's this kind of stuff that pisses me off when people are, like, somebody tried to even try me on Twitter. Or, like, I obviously was trying to spark some fire with something else. But they came on my Twitter and they're like, well, the pandemic's fake and everything. I'm like, I literally have it. Mm. I literally have coronavirus. And you're telling me that it's fake. I went through it.
Right.
Now I'm dealing with it. And so to realize I don't believe in, like, doing these things that could really help. Like, if I didn't do that, there would have been some very serious consequences, whether my dad got it and spread it to my mom, or my grandma, or my brother, or my aunt. Made sure to take those steps just in case, before I even knew, and luckily it helped.
Now, what do you say to the people that, you know, when we talked about it this morning on the show, you know, you mentioned that you went to North Carolina for your cousin's wedding, and there were 30 to 50 people there, you know, because a lot of people, you know, have had to make that awful decision. If you have a wedding plan, do you cancel it? Do you postpone it? Do you do just, you know, you and your parents and a civil ceremony, you know? So, but you made the decision to go. And if someone says, well, why would you go? That was irresponsible. When there were 30 to 50 people there, do you have any regrets?
Well, it all comes down to your personal things that are going on in your life. For me, I went because I knew no one from my family could go. I knew my mom couldn't go. And honestly, like, I don't regret going, because this is like my cousin. This is the first one in like our little family to get married, and it's such an important deal, and I wanted to see my family. And so I kind of felt like I was representing everything that's kind of going on in my circle right now with my family stuff, with my mom being really sick. And I wanted to go, honestly, for her. Like, it kind of gets me a little emotional right now. It's like, because that was the plan. The plan a couple months ago was that we were all going to go. And it was going to be something, because I haven't seen that side of the family in years. So I wanted to make sure, like, no matter what happened, like, I was there for my family. And especially, like, thinking back to, like, my grandparents are getting older. I don't get to see my cousins much. And so for me, that was where my line was drawn. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go. And it is a risk. Anywhere you go is a risk. You go to the grocery store, it's a risk. And I was like, well, my thought process was, hopefully the airport would be a little less crowded. Hopefully, you know, when I'm there, I'm only going to be around a certain amount of people. But, you know, things weren't exactly as clear as I thought they were going to be. Like on the air ride back from on the plane, it was a little more crowded. I was in the middle seat between two people. Like, and you can't really do anything because you're in that moment. But right now, with everything happening with my family, like, I'm very happy that I went and I got to be that representative, because you just never know what tomorrow is going to bring. And so I wanted to at least be there for that side of the family and that experience.
I don't fault you for that. I don't. Yeah. Because you do. I mean, we're in this weird thing where it's on you to decide what you're what you're comfortable with. And my thing is, like, as long as you're trying to be as safe as you can, sometimes you just got to live that life that you you know, you went with your family and you wanted to witness that wedding. I don't fault you for that.
Yeah.
This is we're in a pandemic, which means the odds of any three of us getting it were crazy high. I mean, there's still high odds that Miguel or I could get it from our normal daily activities.
Right.
You know, and I'm with you because when you told us that you had it, my heart just sank because I thought how I would feel if I got it, and I would feel so guilty slash shameful slash responsible slash like I let everybody down. And I can imagine that that's what you were feeling. But from the other end of it, like, I don't feel that way about you. Like, I don't feel like, oh, well, screw Scott. He's out here gallivanting across the damn U.S. getting COVID. Like, chances are it's going to happen at some point to someone in our close circle.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time.
And that's where it kind of comes down to. Like, I just wanted to, you know, make sure that I'm still living my life with the most important things in my life without letting this thing control me.
You know, it's really interesting because I'm with you on that. And I've been a big believer in, you know, read the science, believe the science, and do what they tell you because they're professionals. Like, lately I've had a lot of situations pop up in my life where you can either go the professional route, you know, if you have the ability to hire someone to do something or, you know, read the science and listen to what they say. But then I know some people that are like, you hunker down in your house and you don't do anything. And I get that.
I do,
and,
too.
And I get that.
And that's a choice, too, by the way.
Right.
Which is what I'm saying. Like, right. Figure out your comfort level. I have friends who haven't left their house since March, pretty much.
But then here's the just shitty thing about this virus is that it affects other people what you do, you know? So, like, you obviously want to make sure that your grandmother is okay and that your mom and everybody that you came into contact is okay. And, you know, God forbid if, you know, if you were coming home here, you know what I mean? Because you came into Chateau Opera for 15 minutes to pack your bag and then go home, you know, to Vero Beach. So I don't fault you, but I also, I'm having a hard time understanding the people that are like, well, you shouldn't have went. But then in my mind, I'm like, well, what if some of those family members between now and because we don't know when this is over with, because it's not like, you know, oh, March 30th of 2021, this is over. And here's the shitty thing that I don't want to say when everyone's like, oh, 2020, what a crazy. Oh, I hate it. I'm so ready for 2021. There, it isn't going to stop on New Year's Eve. Like, we're going to be in the same spot we are on January 1.
Yeah.
And so that's why I feel like if you do your research, if you believe the science and you do everything that you can that's possible, like, that's all you can do. But you have to live your life because I can't sit in my house for 2 years, you know, because who knows we're going to get a vaccine and just, like, stop life, you know?
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. And, like, I think about it in terms of my kid, too. So, and again, this is only my view, and I do not judge others who are doing it differently. Just to put the disclaimer out, it was a really tough decision when I had to, you know, do I send Maya back to school or do we do virtual? And the truth of the matter is I'm not set up to really be able to do virtual school with her. I'm simply not able to do it. I don't know how. I don't know how we would do it.
Right.
And on the other hand, I didn't really love the idea anyway, because there is something that she gets out of going to school as a second grader that is helpful and beneficial to her.
Right.
Am I worried that she could contract it at school? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do I realize that it is within a very possible realm that she is going to get it? Yeah. Do I think that's going to impact us? Yeah. But I don't know how on earth I would have been like, okay, virtual school. Well, I literally am working. And I mean, I work, our jobs are kind of like all over the place, but the core of our job is, you know, 5 until noon or something like that. Right. I can't help her during school at that time.
Right.
And I don't have a person. I mean, I do have a person that could potentially help her, but it's like, that's not best practices for them, mm-hmm. for her, for the household.
Right.
In fact, when she did go back to school, it almost felt like a little bit of some of the heaviness dropped off my shoulders.
Mm. Yeah.
Because since March, it had just been this new routine of I go to work, but then I hurry home immediately to be there for her. And I was getting inundated with like my own shit. You know what I'm saying? Like
right.
I was feeling depressed, anxious, tired, exhausted, you know, all these different emotions that would have just continued, because it's not like you suddenly one day are not depressed and the next day you are.
Right.
Any kind of mental issue is a slow build, and it's like the frog in the pan of hot water. Mm. You don't realize you're like, you know, cooked until you are. And that's where we were. So like I get it. I get the people that are able and want to stay home and do virtual schooling with their kids.
Yeah.
I get it. We're living in scary times. You don't want to get sick. You don't want your family to get sick. Maybe you have a child with an underlying condition. I get it. Mm. For me personally, it was not sustainable. And that means that we're now opening up our home to potentially get sick.
Right.
It's a risk that I had to take because this is life. You cannot just... You could get hit by a bus tomorrow.
Right.
Yes,
you
exactly.
can't just insulate yourself
and stop.
For me anyway, stop living
right.
because it wasn't feasible mentally, physically, emotionally. I couldn't do it.
Well, you can just see how it's affecting some people. Like, I'm getting very worried about my mom, and like this is the first time that I've ever, you know, been like, girl, you need to get out and go to a park. Go walk, because she is literally just sitting in her house by herself with her dog, working, watching Netflix. And I'm like, she's just burning through shows because she's using my Netflix like you do, Holly.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I keep meaning to get a new one.
No,
thank you for reminding me.
It's fine. Listen, I need this to hold over your head. I need this one thing. So just keep on riding that coattail, girl. Keep on using that Netflix.
If it wasn't for Umbrella Academy, I'd fucking quit right now. You bitch. But as it turns out, I need to know what happens to Klaus. So, shame.
Are you still on season one, by the way?
Wait, we got to be careful.
I know.
I started season two.
I think, did I finish? Yeah. No, I just started season. I'm on like the first episode of season two. We saw that one.
I like
the direction it's going in so far.
Oh, it's really good. It's really good.
They did, like, you know how sometimes like a show like that, you're like, where do you go?
Right.
This was a great second season.
And I'll tell you, like...
Oh, my gosh.
They managed to pull it off again where so much happened. By the time you get to the last episode, you're like, all right, everything's tied up in a nice bow. And then you're like, what the hell? I need to know what happens next. Like, they are doing a fantastic job with the Umbrella Academy.
So good. Anyway.
But no, it totally makes sense. Scott, how do you feel physically? I mean, are you still working out? Do you still have a six pack? How's your bowel movements? Sweating more?
Miguel.
Like, what are you, as your
you
heart
know what's beat? Interesting about, like, I'm working out more than I like have in a while. Like, I'm running every day. I'm working out. I feel fine. Like, I really do. I feel like I'm 100%, but there are moments where, like, I don't know what it is. Whether like I just feel more exhausted, maybe my schedule's off, but like I was saying on yesterday's podcast where I felt exhausted.
Mm.
Like it's like a feeling of like legit, like I could have just put my head back and just fallen asleep. And I don't know if that's the virus or if that's just my schedule's off, but it is something that's like, it's bothering me because right before we jumped on this podcast, all of a sudden I was like, okay. Oh, my gosh.
I think that we're... I'm not a medical doctor, in case y'all didn't know.
Yeah.
But you fancy yourself to be one.
I do fancy myself to be one.
Tell me, Dr. O'Connor.
I'm going to go ahead and take a stab in the dark and say, it's the virus. Like, yes, that your schedule is off, but your schedule being off doesn't cause exhaustion. But what does cause exhaustion is this virus. And you last tested positive for it, even though you're not, like, actively, you know, fever, chills... like sweat, like those typical, like, you know, flu-like symptoms, it's still one of the major things that it does cause is fatigue. And because you're continuing to live like a normal Scott Tavlin, non-COVID life, your body is like, bro, I'm also trying to fight the coronavirus. Can you give me a minute? I think that's your body telling you maybe you do need a little extra sleep.
It's, I mean, yeah, like yesterday, as soon as we got off, I literally laid on the couch and it was like hours went by where I just like passed out. But it's, you know, my dad was just telling me, is like, I guess there was another study out that it's like, if you have it, you probably shouldn't be like working out or running and stuff.
Because your body needs all the resources to fight the virus, right?
Yeah, I mean, and if I still felt like sick, like I don't feel sick. Like right. That's the thing. Like I, all of those, my smell is back. My taste is back. I don't have a fever. I don't have chills. I don't feel like I did when I knew I had it pretty much. Like I feel fine, except for that one fact of like, probably after this podcast, if I start to read, like I'm done. Like I'm just done for at least 2 hours.
Right.
Take that.
So I don't know. I don't know.
Take the 2 hours. That's your body being like, psst, psst, I'm still fighting coronavirus.
I need to rest. I need to sleep.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like it's good that you're not in that stage of feeling all the sickness and that you never got like shortness of breath.
The respiratory
issues with it, because that's one of the severe forms of it. It sounds like you don't have one of the severe forms, thankfully.
Luckily. Yeah.
Because it can last for months. But again, we don't know what the side effects are.
The scariest thing. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what it's going to look like next week. I could feel weird tomorrow. I don't know.
So today is September 10th. When was your last test that you had?
I took another test like a week from today.
Okay, a week ago.
So I plan on going back today and getting another test because it got back to me by like the weekend. So I was either going to take one today and one tomorrow, and hopefully they're both negative, and then I can start making my way and plans to come back. But that's if they come back negative.
Can I make a suggestion that I just thought of? I know we're not like big fans of Facebook right now, but if you're on your laptop and you can, you know, get on Facebook, there are COVID groups out there. Remember like long ago at the beginning of this, we talked to my friend Amanda, who had like the most severe form of COVID at that time.
Yeah.
She said she got a lot of help and info and support from these online Facebook communities of people and the reason why they're doing so well, these Facebook groups about coronavirus survivors and you know, people who have it or had it, is just the information sharing. Because there's so few articles on like real life people that have it. Like all we hear about are the numbers or the how to handle like going back to school and whether or not there was going to be a spike after. Like we're just getting stats. We're not getting actual therapeutic help. So if someone may have coronavirus in the way that you do, they might have discovered like some therapeutics to help them. So I would recommend finding a Facebook group.
I'll look into it. Yeah, it is weird. It's just a weird feeling because I like even thinking of coming back feels odd. The fact that eventually I'm going to have to come back to St. Pete, like that just feels a little weird to me and it feels rushed and it just nothing feels right now. So that's the part that kind of just throws me off.
And it won't.
Now I've been here for a while.
Right. I mean, and it won't. I feel like right now I keep telling myself that I'm sort of what we said yesterday is I'm learning new lessons in living in the uncomfortableness. You know, because I'm one of those people that when life starts to get really humdrum and regular and there's not something crazy happening, that I'm always like, girl, I'm bored. I'm bored. And so I'm trying to like look at this glass half full of like, all right, I'm really learning how to multitask like on an insane level. Like Abe texted me during the show today and he was like, how are you? And then like an hour later, I was like, I feel like an octopus right now because today there was just a lot of elements going on with the show today. And I was just trying to stay focused the entire time. And there's just so much going on right now. And it makes me so tired at the end of the day. But I'm like, all right, but at least I know that I can focus on 5 different things at one time and still put on somewhat of a decent show or something that we're putting out to the public. And so we're just living in the uncomfortableness right now. We're just going to be there for a good long time. So it's good to just settle in.
Yeah. Become comfortable with being uncomfortable, I guess.
Yeah. So is there anything that you're doing to treat it other than just letting it run its course, or that's about it?
I mean, I'm doing the things that I normally do to keep a healthy system. It's like I'm eating very healthy. I'm drinking a ton of water. I do have my OJ in there, and maybe you're not supposed to, but I'm working out and I'm sleeping as much as I can.
I remember Brooke Baldwin on CNN. She had coronavirus, and I remember when she came back, she said that like there was like two or three nights where, I mean, she just had like the worst sleep terrors. Mm. It was just miserable at night. Have you felt that at all?
Not sleep terrors. I mean, like when it first happened, it was just like when I was super sick with like a flu or a cold in the beginning. It's like I went to bed and I was like, well, like the worst night on Tuesday, I was like shivering, but then I would like just so hot. I had such a fever, and that's kind of where I was like, ooh, I don't feel good. And I do remember like that day, like I think my family wanted to go do something. I was like, I can't. Like I just feel horrible. I'm just going to go lay down. And I remember trying to sleep and I couldn't sleep. And I laid there for like 3 hours in my bed of like, I feel like crap, but I can't get any rest. And so I treated it like a cold then. Like I was taking cold medicine. I was drinking a ton of fluids to make sure I'm like passing this thing. But then it ended up being a little more serious than just a cold.
Mm. I did hear good things about vitamin D.
I mean,
you should have seen Miguel's face. You're listening to the podcast, but if you could see Miguel's face, it looked like I offered like a tasty treat.
Yeah, you got some. You got some vitamin D, Scott.
Oh man, just a supplement.
I did.
Yeah.
You got vitamin D.
Oh my God.
Well, I got the natural source from the sun.
I bet you did get that natural source of vitamin D.
Extra spike of it or something. I don't know. I heard good things.
Okay, good.
Again, because I'm a medical doctor.
Yes, of course. Just so you all know.
Well, I'm glad that you're doing better and that you're feeling all right, and you know, we're here for you. And there's nothing else to be said other than it sucks that you have to go through it. And, you know, hopefully throughout this entire process, another one of us won't get sick and have to do it, the show from the house, because I don't know how that would work.
I don't know. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's just, we've been lucky.
Yeah.
I know that we've all been safe, but it sometimes just comes down to luck.
Yeah.
You could get it from ordering takeout delivered to your house.
Yeah, because I was on a plane just like you. I mean, I was on a plane at the end of July. I went up to Buffalo when Abe was up there.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the plane, but I think that was still when people were super nervous. And so everyone had a road to themselves unless you were family. So I didn't have to sit on a full plane. Like Tampa International was empty. Buffalo Niagara Falls Airport was empty. So I was very lucky that I went in July. But now hearing this, and I think I saw on Fox 13 this morning that TPA had the most people since March in it over the past, over the past Memorial Day weekend. Labor Day weekend. So you'll be okay. We'll get through it.
Yeah, I mean, I just recommend if you're just, like, try to stay away from large groups of people. Like, that's my recommendation, because there's just so many people that just don't care.
Yeah.
And they could probably just be spreading it all around. So I'd stay away from them.
So moving into, you know, talking about coronavirus and cable news and people's beliefs, how some people aren't taking it seriously, I have been noticing recently that over the past 4 years.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
The media is evil.
It's the horrible. Media.
The MSM.
They're biased. They're, and can I just, I have to say this publicly somewhere. Yeah. And, you know.
Might as well say it here.
We don't do this sort of talk on our morning show. And I feel like my thumbs would get tired trying to type it out on Instagram.
That's what I'm saying.
So let me just say one thing. Let me just get on my high horse for a second.
Get on up.
When it comes to the media, you have to realize that media is run by people. These are human beings. Human beings with life experiences, with feelings, and emotions and their own biases. Most people, not all, most people that work in the media hold themselves up to a high journalistic standard. Look at their body of work on how they go very far to get you the news. So there is a difference between when you read a New York Times article or you read a Fox 13 here in Tampa Bay article or a Tampa Bay Times article. There is a difference between fact when they say Scott Tavlin, who works at WPOI Hot 101.5, has coronavirus. That is fact. A sentence that is opinion is dumbass Scott Tavlin got COVID, who works at shitty radio station Hot 101.5. Those are opinions. There is a difference. So we as a society need to understand the difference between fact and opinion. When you watch MSNBC, Fox News, CNN in the evening times, those are opinion shows.
Correct.
When Chris Cuomo, when Sean Hannity, when Rachel Maddow are giving you the news and opinions, those are opinions. When you are watching it during the day and they're giving you, they're like, all right, let's go to this doctor. Let's go to this guest. They are telling you what is happening right now. Is there a bias? Probably so.
Because
but I feel
most
like these people
are
try.
Biased. Yeah.
They are. Everyone's biased. Not one fucking person is not biased. Everyone's biased. But they try their hardest to let you know what's happening so you can make a decision. I am so freaking tired of hearing people say, the media, the media, the media. Well, how do you want to get your information? What are they supposed to do? I am so over that because people don't realize what journalists go through. And that was a career that I was about to go in. And then I realized, I'm not that serious. I like to be serious, but I also like to be crazy. And,
man,
you know,
that was the same thing I thought.
Right.
That's why I'm like, I can't be a news anchor.
Right. I was like, I like to get hot dogs launched at my face when I lose headphone karaoke.
Same.
I like that. But then I also want to talk about politics. But these people, like, just look at the news. Like, look at Wolf Blitzer. Look at it. People, even on Fox News or on MSNBC. They're there working all the time to make sure that you get the information you need in a very scary time. They're not peddling in fear. They're trying to tell you what you need to know. They don't have to fucking make it super crazy and dramatic. It already is dramatic because people are dying.
Mm-hmm. But I want to circle back really quick to a point that you just made. Where do you get your news? And again, it goes back to
That's
the first
important.
Point that you made, which is there is a difference between fact and opinion, and you have to be so careful about where you're getting the quote-unquote news.
Yes.
If your news comes from leansliberal.biz or baldeagleloves.trump.org, that's not news.
Right.
My mom gets this newspaper, the National Catholic Register.
Mm. Oh,
does it offer some stories on things that are happening in the world? Yes.
Right.
Is it hard news? No, because it's obviously biased toward the Catholic Church.
Right.
And that's not news. That's a form of news with a Catholic slant. So if you're going to go with that, you're getting opinion
right.
mixed in. Or if you're getting, you know, your if for God's sake, you are getting your news from like a highly circulated meme with a block of text under it on Facebook.
Yes.
Also not news. If you're getting your news from a man that's sitting with a close up and not quite looking at the camera, but looking off camera with like, you know, his camo hat on in black and white, telling you what's really happening. Also not news. These are not news sources. These are people with opinions who love the spotlight.
And money.
And, you know, they feel like maybe they weren't the smartest in school or the most advantageous or something. And this piece of information that they're like, I know about something. I'm going to pass it on because now I'm smart. I'm sorry, you're still not smart.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not news.
Right.
And the reason that actual journalists are so incensed about these type of things is because I'm not even a journalist. I'm in the media, technically. We're on the radio. But even we had to go through training that says, and the very basics, check your sources.
Absolutely.
Where are you getting this information from? Where are you getting this information? And lately, that's why one of the reasons I had to delete Facebook off my phone, because I got so tired of being like, where are your sources? Right. Well, never mind that. No, 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 no. You don't get to never mind it. Mm-hmm. You get your source and then you state it to me. Just like doctors do when they put out a thesis or a research paper or like a peer-reviewed published piece. Where are your sources?
And that's the thing is,
it's not hard.
And it's okay to get your information from, you know, the cone of belief that you're in. Like, if you look at my Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, I follow a lot of Black news, a lot of LGBTQ news, and Tampa Bay news.
Because they're going to put a spotlight on different parts.
Because there are things that I might not necessarily catch the attention of a Tampa Bay Times or something. So, but I know that when I see from, you know, one of my gay news sources like Out.com or The Advocate or from the HRC Human Rights Campaign or whatever, I will see the article and I'll be like, oh, well, that's interesting. And it'll be like, Trump administration did this. And you know what I do? I read their article and then I go Google because I know that that's coming from their perspective. And then I Google Trump administration. Like last week, this is what happened when I saw someone put on Instagram where it was like the Trump administration wants to take away diversity training in the government. And I was like, well, that sounds really extreme. Well, let me Google it and see if any other sources have reported on it. So then I came across, oh my gosh, what is the wire service?
AP.
The AP had reported on it. And then it was NBC News and then CBS News, which usually those are pretty, here are the facts.
Neutral
here is
leaning.
What happened.
As a quick side tangent,
mm-hmm.
I posted on Facebook before I got rid of it, a source that goes through, and everybody, this is what I love. People don't argue with you. They're like, well, where do those people get their sources? I'm like, okay, everyone is a little bit biased, but they even showed you, they had a page on how they figured out which news sources had which biases.
Right.
And they listed like almost every news source on the planet. I mean, down to like the Daily Beast, but then like BBC and the ones that were sort of like, they had a graph where it's like, are you left-leaning, right-leaning? Do you sometimes post theory and opinion or do you stick to fact? And like the ones that are consistently in the middle are like the AP or BBC. And they had like a couple of those ones. And I think CBS was up there too. CBS tends to be pretty neutral leaning for the most part.
Because they don't have a cable network. And they just report, here's what's happening.
Right. So like you have to go with that to see like, am I getting biased information from other places? And where is the source coming from? So back to that.
Right.
I wanted to say like, those are some of the good sources that can give you just straight fact.
And that's what I did. I wanted to understand what is actually happening. Or is this like an offshoot of the Trump administration who just mentioned this in passing to someone? And no, there it was, it clear as day. Like, that's what he wants to do. He said that, I don't want to even misquote him. But yes, that was true. So all I'm saying is, if you're going to share stuff and if you're going to go into battle, just make sure before you make a decision that you're actually reading the source. And then stop attacking, the people that are putting their life on the line to make sure that we understand the truth, because it's not possible for us here in Tampa Bay, or if you're listening from San Diego or somewhere else or Atlanta, to know what's happening directly in Washington. And then when people are like, well, the reporters are asking Trump all these questions, and of course I'd get agitated. He is the leader of the free world. He signed up for that job. You have to answer those questions. And if you don't, then you're going to get attacked because you're making decisions for 300 plus million people. And I would expect that from a Republican president, a Republican, Democrat president.
Republican or independent.
Yes. I just want to make sure that you have the entire country's best interest at heart. And they are the gatekeepers to make sure that the politicians are held accountable. End soapbox.
You're right.
That's all I get.
I guess it's just difficult because we come from so much training in that area.
Right.
To see people that, but, and then the other thing that makes me so irritated, and the second reason that I had to get off of Facebook for the most part, was because of conspiracy theories that have cropped up amongst all this, because with scary times come a lot of conspiracy theories, because sometimes dealing with a conspiracy theory, and don't get me wrong, like sometimes conspiracies are real. Look at Watergate. Boring as hell, but Watergate was a conspiracy that turned out to be.
I'd love a conspiracy like Watergate just breaking into an office.
I know, right?
Jeez.
Office building. Ugh. But like, so yes, conspiracies are real, but conspiracy theories tend to spin out into the wildly inappropriate or like crazy to think of. And they happen a lot around like big scary events,
mm-hmm.
because some people would rather think about that craziness and how they can dig into it then deal with the actual scary thing that's happening in real life.
Mm.
And the problem with conspiracy theories is that they're so difficult. Once you're like in the weeds of it, it's really enticing. I've gotten into conspiracy theories when we were unemployed. I was all in like every conspiracy theory possible because it's fun almost. It's fun. It gives you purpose. You're like, I'm uncovering a secret. Like I went to Quantico.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there's a lot of people that say they have information, but where are your sources?
Exactly.
And then the people that are you know, building up these, they're like, they don't need sources. The sources were off the record, or that's why the mainstream media isn't covering them, because they're all in on it. Or it's not real like you think it is. Because if it were, wouldn't someone be doing something more about, like, are you telling me the entire world is in on this? And only you, reading, scrolling through Facebook, knows the truth.
If you really want to have your mind blown, there are some podcasts, there are some documentaries on the whole QAnon movement.
I can't.
I
can't.
If you really want to just go down a rabbit hole.
Wait,
and
now, are you meaning like if you're a part of that group and you want to read more about it?
No, I'm saying if you've heard maybe it mentioned QAnon and you're like, wait, what is this?
Oh, yeah. That was me about 3 months ago when I was blissfully unaware that it existed.
Well, there are some documentaries and series about it, and it's scary.
Like on TV or on?
On TV and podcasts as well.
It scares me so much because that's like, to me, from just, and I haven't like done a deep dive into it because I get so frustrated, but we're talking like high level people who are propagating that.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it has the potential to become the new McCarthyism.
Oh,
or
it
like
is.
The new Salem witch hunt trials.
It absolutely
is. In 2020.
Is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. we're talking like, you know, the old school torches and pitchforks, but now it's like we're just going to shoot up a restaurant with an AK-47.
And it happened.
Yeah.
If you want some links, you can slide up in my DMs at Miguel Fuller on Insta, and I can send you some podcasts that talk about it. And obviously knowing that the person doing the reporting has a slant, obviously, but
right.
usually what they're saying is this is what they believe. So, all right. Well, that's it for today.
Now I'm stressed out.
Don't be stressed out. Be blessed.
Okay.
There you go. I like that. Be blessed.
Don't be stressed. Be blessed. Scott, what's your information?
Yeah. Oh, you could get my, no.
Your what?
Instagram is, I was going to like give my social security.
Oh, don't
get my information.
I'll do that.
No, you can find me on Instagram at Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin.
Holly.
Radio Holly on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. And Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Make sure if you see us out and about, say platypus.
Yes.
And you can always tweet or Insta tag us when you're listening. To the show on Instagram or Twitter and say, hey, I'm listening, just like I know Doe Eyes does, and Francisco, and
Laura Topla.
Yeah, so thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget, you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Make sure to rate and review. And if you want a Miguel and Holly sticker, just shoot me an email with your name and address. Miguel@hot1015tampabay.com. Bye.
Catch up with the previous episodes of the Miguel and Holly Uncensored podcast from Hot 101.5.
Just hit up the Hot 101.5 app, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.
Search Miguel and Holly Uncensored.